From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on September 6, 2024, from South Carolina Public Radio Studios here in Columbia. On this episode of The Lead, we catch you up with some campaign trail action as we are less than 60 days away from Election Day. That means we're looking at some tax proposals floated by both candidates this week, as well as other trail-related stuff ahead of the presidential debate next Tuesday. We also have some state news looking at a newly passed policy to ban cell phone use during the school day in classrooms statewide. And also, we look at what's on your ballot this November 5th. And the August jobs report showed a slowing but still resilient job market. More when we do the numbers.
Data!
Oh yeah, guys, the data. This is a little Kai coming at you there. Now, a little note, you have less than a month to register to vote for the upcoming November 5th general election. You can do so by visiting scvotes.org. And when you're there, tell them Gavin sent you. If you're already registered, you can view your sample ballot that has everything that you'll be voting on this November, as well as your location for the polls and so much more. scvotes.org. Check it out. And a programming note, since we're here. Programming note, snake alert. Our next podcast will drop on Wednesday, September 11th. This will be so we can accommodate the first presidential debate between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. That's taking place September 10th. Guys, we tried to get him to move it so we could do it like for Tuesday. It's always a deal. If you can't bear with us, let us know. 803-563-7169. Again, we cannot accommodate you here. You're going to have to deal with Wednesday. But let us know what's on your mind. Fall is creeping towards us like a stalker. I think the leaves are changing maybe No, still too soon. But people's attitudes are changing. Football season, we've been talking about. The psychology around wins and losses. What are you doing, guys? Give us a shout. We want to hear from you. 803-563-7169. The Lead is back, and we want to see what's going on in your world. There are less than 60 days to go until the 2024 presidential election. Here's a bit of a recap of what happened this week on the campaign trail to keep you updated and informed ahead of November 5th. Ah! The economy was top of mind for both Democrats and Republicans this week. Vice President Kamala Harris spoke about her plans to grow the middle class and improve economic conditions for everyday Americans, while looking at wealthier Americans to pay more when it comes to things like capital gains taxes. Here she is in New Hampshire.
Billionaires and big corporations must pay their fair share in taxes. Because here's the thing. It's just not right that those who can most afford it are often paying a lower tax rate than our teachers and our nurses and our firefighters. It's just not right. So that's why I support a billionaire minimum tax and corporations paying their fair share. And while we ensure that the wealthy and big corporations pay their fair share, we will tax capital gains at a rate that rewards investment in America's innovators, founders, and small businesses. So here's the detail. If you earn $1 million a year or more, the tax rate on your long-term capital gains will be 28% under my plan, because we know when the government encourages investment, it leads to broad-based economic growth and it creates jobs, which makes our economy stronger.
She proposed a much lower increase than President Joe Biden's proposal of 39.6%. Instead, she's opting for 28% for those making over $1 million. Her plan would also include a 5% surtax. Now, Harris also proposed an increase to small businesses' $5,000 allowable deduction for startup expenses, moving that to $50,000. That would mean new small businesses could allocate the tax deduction across several years or claim the full $50,000 deduction once they turn a profit. Here she is talking about small businesses.
And so all of this is why, as president, one of my highest priorities will be to strengthen America's small businesses. And here I am in New Hampshire to announce a few elements of my plan to do that. So first, we're going to help more small businesses and innovators get off the ground, okay? Now, I'm setting what some, I'm sure, are going to call a very ambitious goal, but you know what? I think we should admire ambition in each other. So I want to see 25 million new small business applications by the end of my first term. And to help achieve this, we will lower the cost of starting a new business. So here's the thing. On average, it costs about $40,000 to start a new business in America. That is a great financial barrier for a lot of folks, and it can hold entrepreneurs back. And the current tax deduction for a startup is just $5,000, okay? So then you gotta make up the delta there. Gotta figure out how you're gonna do that. Not everyone has access to that kind of wealth and capital. So, part of my plan is we will expand the tax deduction for startups to $50,000. It's essentially a tax cut for starting a small business.
Harris has also proposed increasing the corporate tax to 28% from 21%, which would raise about $1.1 trillion and cover a lot of her plans, including those to increase the child tax credit, expanding the earned income tax credit, extending the tax credit for health insurance premiums, and it would also provide down payment support for first-time homebuyers, targeting millennials there. Now, the corporate tax rate generally applies to larger companies, so sorry, larger companies. You are people, too. Former President Donald Trump said he wants to make permanent his 2017 tax cuts, which lowered the corporate tax rate from 35% to 21%. That resulted in less tax revenue and a ballooning national debt to the tune of $1.9 trillion over 11 years just for that cut. Now, that's not from me. That's from the Congressional Budget Office. Trump wants to drop that rate even further to 15% if he got reelected, and that would cost about $4.6 trillion. Harris plans to keep tax cuts in place for those making under $400,000, as well as adding no additional taxes to those folks. Now, a study done by the Wharton School of Business, Trump's alma mater at the University of Pennsylvania, notes that his proposals would increase the national debt by 9.3% above its current trajectory by 2034. Harris's proposals would increase it by 4.4%. This analysis did not incorporate her recently announced increase for the small business startup tax deduction, though. Next year is when several parts of the 2017 tax cuts expire, so pay attention to these proposals as they carry significant weight, and some could even enjoy bipartisan support in a potentially divided Congress. To my fiscal conservatives, my deficit hawks, let me know where you fall on these proposals. Any one percenters listening out there? Give us a shout. Now, Trump was before the Economic Club of New York, and he was there talking about tariffs that he wants to keep in place against China, among other things.
I gave our country and replaced it with the USMCA, perhaps the best trade deal ever made in history. That's Mexico and Canada. I stood up to China like no one else before me. No one came even close. And I saved the U.S. auto industry from obliteration with a 27.5% tariff on all Chinese cars. That remains in place to this day. They want to take it off, but they can't because, number one, it's too much money, and number two, we would be invaded by Chinese cars on top of the other invasions that are taking place. Without it, our auto industry would be dead. And now I am going further. We will bring our automaking industry to the record levels of 37 years ago, and we'll be able to do it very quickly. Through tariffs and other smart use of certain things that we have that other countries don't. For four straight years, I fought for American workers like I would fight for my own family. I took care of our economy like I would take care of my own company. In every decision, I asked, will I create jobs here or Will I be sending jobs overseas? Will it make America richer and stronger, or will it make our country weaker and poorer? I always put America first, every single time.
Trump spoke about deregulating and possibly employing Tesla CEO Elon Musk as head of his government efficiency task force.
To stop this onslaught at lower prices, I'm pledging today that in my second term, we will eliminate a minimum of 10 old regulations for every one new regulation. We'll be able to do that quite easily, actually. And instead of attacking industries of the future, we will embrace them, including making America the world capital for crypto and Bitcoin. Fourth, at the suggestion of Elon Musk, who has given me his complete and total endorsement. That's nice. Smart guy. He knows what he's doing. It's very, very much appreciated. I will create a government efficiency commission tasked with conducting a complete financial and performance audit of the entire federal government and making recommendations for drastic reforms. We need to do it.
Musk posted on X on Thursday morning, quote, I look forward to serving America if the opportunity arises. No pay, no title, no recognition is needed, quote. Now, days before, Trump participated in a friendly town hall event with Fox News' Sean Hannity, where, among other things, he trashed the debate rules, ABC News, and said everything was rigged against him. Now, this familiar tactic cuts both ways. If he wins the debate, he's a hero for beating this supposed system. And if he loses, well, he didn't lose because the deck was always stacked against him. So it's a good tactic there. I'm going to try that here at ETV. Now, the 90-minute debate from Philadelphia will air on ABC next Tuesday at 9 p.m., Tuesday, September 10th at 9 p.m. It will also be simulcast on SCETV channels statewide, so tune in. Now let's look at fundraising. Yes, the almighty dollar. All hail the dollar. Cha-ching! The Harris campaign announced it raised $361 million in August. It's a lot of money. That was the first full month that Harris was the Democratic Party's nominee, and her campaign raised $82 million alone during the convention week. The New York Times reports that Harris's campaign aides say that the campaign has $404 million on hand. On the flip side, Trump raised $130 million in August. That was down $9 million from July, the same month as the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Trump's campaign reports $295 million on hand. Now, we'll get more details from both campaigns when finance reports are filed later this month, as well as how much related campaign committees have raised and where the money was spent. Legal fees? Question mark. Now, you may be asking how the Harris campaign is going to spend $400 million in 60 days.
You tell me.
Well, ads like we've talked about, and mailers, and travel to those seven key states. But millions are also going to down-ballot races. Politico reports that the campaign and the Democratic National Committee are sending nearly $25 million to support down-ballot Democrats. Now, this is an earlier investment and far more money than the top of the ticket has sent in past election years. Such transfers help those candidates in tight House and Senate races that, if elected, will help Harris push through her agenda items. You gotta spend money to make policy, people. You've heard it here before. Some more trail tidbits, this one from Axios. The Trump campaign is scaling back efforts in three reach states that he was targeting just 6 weeks ago, a sign of how Harris's rise has changed the race. That means less emphasis on New Hampshire, Minnesota, and Virginia, states that Republican National Committee Chairman Michael Whatley said that the party had started to engage in following President Joe Biden's disastrous June debate. Now, Harris is opening up a healthy lead over Trump out in New Hampshire and likely cemented it with her visit there this week for that economic policy rollout that we just heard about. Now, the Live Free or Die state went for Biden by 7 points in 2020. Instead, the Trump campaign is placing more emphasis on North Carolina, Arizona, and Nevada. And a little note for our foreign adversaries who are low-key, a little obsessed with us and wish us all the worst, and they just can't help but again meddle in our elections. Guys, seriously, stop doing that. And then the primary way this is done is through
misinformation.
Though many Americans are already doing this to themselves, I can tell you right now, no foreign dollars have ever funded or influenced this podcast or me personally.
Phew.
Just, these are my rules.
Thank you.
That's something Russian broadcaster RT can't say, of course, since they're paid for by Moscow. but two of their employees were just indicted by the Department of Justice for a $10 million scheme to create and distribute content to American audiences with hidden Russian government messaging. The DOJ also seized 32 internet domains used in Russian government-directed foreign malign influence campaigns, commonly referred to as doppelganger, in violation of U.S. money laundering and criminal trademark laws. These domains, among others, were used to covertly spread Russian government propaganda with the aim of reducing international support for Ukraine, bolstering pro-Russian policies and interests, and influencing voters in the United States and foreign elections, including this election that we're talking about.
Really?
Yes. Russia is out to get us, folks. Now, I know everyone loves Twitter, except Brazil, but you really, really can't trust much that's on there, except from credible outlets and journalists, which are becoming fewer and fewer. Now, you know people who are credible, they have an actual photo, for example, they have a bio, they have an email address, and depend on their credibility for a living, compared to random bots and folks that have weird handles. Just a simple way for you to see if maybe something's legit. But again, just because you have millions of followers or even a blue check mark, that doesn't mean that you have credibility, folks. Please, for the love of God, research stuff before you repost it or even consider it to be true. Let's get you some state news really quick. I know, I'm sorry, all this national stuff, it's got me crazy too. The South Carolina Daily Gazette reports that state school districts must ban students from using their cell phones during the entire school day. But exactly how they go about it is up to school district officials. This according to a policy that the State Board of Education passed on Tuesday. School boards will have until January to put in place a policy at least as strict as the one that the state board enacted, according to a memo the department sent to superintendents in June. Districts must submit those policies to the department to ensure compliance, but there's also room for some exceptions, so let's just wait, folks. Give me a call. What do you think? If you're listening to us, if you're a student in school right now, put the phone down, guys. Just stop. Live in the moment for a little bit. Rita, get off the phone.
No.
Goo goo gaga. Voting deadline, that's right. Like I said at the top, you have until October 6th to go to scvotes.org to register to vote if you are not already registered. You can also change your address there. And now you can view your sample ballot. The time has come. I'm telling you, this will show you all the candidates from president down to Congress to the state house and local races that you can vote on November 5th. These are people you're going to want to research, guys. Do your own research. Find out who they are. We'll try and do as much as we can when it comes to congressional races and some statehouse races, but there's so many races. Now, there's also a statewide constitutional amendment question that cleans up language in Section 4, Article 2 of the South Carolina Constitution. You know what that is?
Yes.
Oh, you memorized it?
Yes.
Okay, what is it?
I don't know.
Gotcha. That's okay, I'll tell you. Now, if passed, this section would read that only a citizen of the United States and of this state of the age of 18 and upwards who is properly registered is entitled to vote as provided by law. The current section reads every citizen. The amended version that you're going to be voting on would state only a citizen. So every citizen to only. Again, non-U.S. citizens do not vote in our elections, and this language, I guess, really just reinforces that. You also may have some local questions on your ballot as well, like here in Richland County for the penny sales tax. That would raise upwards of $4.5 billion over 25 years for infrastructure projects and the issuance of bonds. But don't take it from me. Check out your ballot, scvotes.org. And on the way out, we got some more economic data for you.
Data.
The Department of Labor released August numbers that show the economy added 142,000 jobs. Now, though this was lower than the estimated 161,000 forecast, the unemployment rate ticked lower to 4.2%. The markets and policymakers were closely watching this report as a way to parse how much of an interest rate cut the Federal Open Market Committee may make, I should say will make, because we're all pretty sure they're going to do it, later this month. I'm talking about either a 0.25% cut or a 0.5% cut. 25 basis points or 50 basis points, that's the technical lingo there. Now, the latter figure, the 0.5, would help preempt any potential labor market weakness that folks continue to fear, even though this report again solidifies that soft landing the economy has managed in this post-COVID recovery. Now, while some prices remain high and fluctuate, is anyone complaining about gas prices right now? You're welcome, from me. I will take credit for that if no one else will. Now, despite those prices, inflation continues to fall, with July consumer price index figures reaching 2.9%. CPI is 2.9%. That's the most recent figure we have. And that July number was the first time inflation has been below 3% since March 2021. Inflation coming down. That's why the interest rates are up. That's why the labor market's getting a little weird. This is how it works. That's why, again, the benchmark interest rate has been increased to around 5.3%. How much lower that's going to go? Well, we'll find out at that Fed meeting later this month, September 17th and 18th. Now, Acting Labor Secretary Julie Hsu was on Bloomberg Friday morning talking about the report that showed the slowing jobs growth.
Overall, this is another month of many months in which I've come here and we've talked about how we continue to see job growth, right? The numbers are still up. We're continuing to see growth in various industries. We see construction, healthcare, leisure and hospitality, right? These are all signs of an economy reaching a normal, steady, stable state. And we, you know, want to continue to create the investments that are leading to this kind of job creation. And the president will be traveling to Michigan later today to announce an executive order that is ensuring that we're not just counting the number of jobs, we're also making sure that these jobs are good jobs, where families can get ahead, where people can make a steady income, where they can retire with dignity. And so these are all part of the economy that the president promised when he came to office and the economy that these numbers reflect.
That was Acting Labor Secretary Julie Hsu on Bloomberg. And the Labor Department also revised June and July employment numbers down by 61,000 and 15,000 jobs, respectively. How's the job market treating you, though? Give us a shout, folks. You'll be in the wind-down section, 803-563-7169. Speaking of the wind-down, we made it, folks. Welcome to the wind-down section, our little break from the news. We're here. I'm a little despondent because I don't know if we have any voicemails. A.T. Shire, producer of the lead pod. Do we have any? I'm not even...
Gavin, I'm just
sitting alone in the darkness over here.
Don't have to put the psycho-crazy strings of your rising tension and deteriorating mental state underneath anything you're saying because we do have a call!
Thank you.
We have a call!
Yeah, those are always playing anyway.
Yeah, the strings.
In my mind.
Yep. Don't need to put that in today because we do have a call. So, Gavin, if you're ready.
I think so. Let me double check with our other producer.
Who else?
Yep. I know. Okay. Yeah, we are ready.
Okay. Whatever. They sound very small and far away, but okay, from my end. But all right, here we go.
Hey, Gavin and AT. I am definitely ashamed that I haven't called in recently. This is David Ladner from Clemson area. And I love the fact that you have shifted to discussing sports now on the podcast. That's amazing. I usually, you know, listen in for political commentary, but hey, let's talk sports. That's great. I learn something new every time I listen. Like I learned that South Carolina fans were upset up here. The Clemson fans are so upset it's drowned everything else out. So it's somehow comforting to know that the major football teams in the state are all miserable together right now. And I also learned what PSL means, even though I had to look it up because you guys didn't define your acronym. But anyway, I'm happy to know that now. And last but not least, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned the Phillies a little bit. You know, you're talking about birds all the time, but the Phillies' magic number is close, or it's at 18 now to clinch the division. I'm a Braves fan. But it's good if the Braves don't win the division every year. So it's good to see the Phillies maybe take one this year. And the Braves can have the next six after that. And aside from that, thank you guys for everything you do. Great hard work. Very educational and inspiring. Have a great day.
I swear we did not pay David to call us, but we're appreciative of his call. Effusive, Dave from Clemson.
The Clemson area man,
I put
man,
the P
David.
In there just yeah. for you.
The Clemson area man, David. Thank you for calling.
He realized just how desperate we were for calls
yeah.
that I had to resort to talking about sports. And then he called and talked about sports.
He
and
heard the strings.
You know, I bit my tongue. I'm like, okay, we're shifting to a sports pod there. And he's like, so... I'm glad that he learned about other things besides what we talked about in the wind down and the pumpkin spice latte, the PSL, for those who know. Now, mm-hmm. you know, David.
Yes.
I only have one every season.
Yes.
I'm going to use the term season. Not even a year, season.
Yes. Seasons are greeting you, too. It's about time.
It's usually I have it when I'm in the presence of Meg Kinnard. We're doing something fall-like.
She peer pressures you into the PSL.
Nor. I do it myself. I have to have. Can I have one? Make it even
well,
more exclusive.
We do have to say that Meg is the biggest fall head that we know.
Yes,
and so I don't know if she's like overtly peer pressuring you into it,
no.
but just the presence of that sort of fall energy.
She bullies me with it. And I'm going to use the term bully lightly. She knows what I'm talking about here.
Soft bully.
You know, yeah. the kind of person
soft
that
diplomacy.
Sends you like the meme in the middle of like June that says, only 20 more Saturdays till you know, Halloween. And I'm just like, I seethe. And it's like, stop it. I'm going to start doing that stuff when like, oh, only like, you know, 6 more months till June. I don't know.
Ugh.
But, you know, there's a reason for the season.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that somewhere. I'm going to use that phrase. There's a reason for the season.
They're specifically talking about this drink from the Megacorp. Of Starbucks, yeah.
Go drink your pumpkin chemical drink.
I gotta say, I'm glad you brought up the chemical drink part of it, because if you take the lid off of that sucker...
Don't look at that thing,
and you
baby.
Look at it, it is an
it's
oil
a
slick. Oil slick.
No, we gotta cover it up with some whipped cream instead,
it looks
huh?
like, yeah, it looks like an Exxon Valdez spill in that
not
cup.
Open the lid, folks.
It'll make you not want to drink it.
It will ruin the surprise.
Yeah, well, the surprise comes later, I heard. I've never had coffee in my life.
You see this, folks? We got to revisit the hits here. AT doesn't like hot beverages.
I do not like hot beverages.
What about an iced coffee?
I've never had coffee.
Well, why not? Why don't we do an iced coffee?
Coffee doesn't taste like it smells. And that might be the greatest lie. Like
in our childhood, when you went to the mall and you smelt the coffee shop at the mall.
It smells great. It smells amazing.
Like a cigar.
It's a real bait and switch.
Yeah. You know
cigars.
Me. You know
I really suck at cigars. I got to say, I've smoked like 3 in my life. And the first time I ever did it, I had it in my mouth. Naturally, I was going, meow, meow, meow. You know?
Of course, you're buying
and
itself.
I had it out the side of my mouth. Like a big time gangster, turned my head, burned my shoulder with the cigar.
How old were you?
I think I was like 20, 21.
Back
maybe.
When you were running guns with your cigar?
I will say I was at a horse race track in New Jersey. So it was like
close
when
enough.
It, when in Rome, you,
yeah,
you,
meow, meow, meow,
meow, meow, meow. Yeah, I'm betting on
give
the
me the
horses.
Meow, give me the meow.
The Monmouth racetrack in New Jersey. It was such
where they do the pole.
That's where the pole's from. Yeah, the pole has to do with horses.
It's a horse race.
It's so you back then you just got to BYO everything there. Like you could bring a grill, cooler of beers,
yeah.
all your friends, and just sit there and bet on horses. And so I went in to put on a bet in. I saw these freaking terrible looking cigars. So I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to smoke a cigar.
Did you win? Do you remember if you won anything?
I won my first, and then I lost everyone after
that.
Oh,
you lost the farm.
I was high.
Oh, yeah, baby.
On that
you
first
had a
win.
Cigar. You're burning yourself. You're
burning
big
myself.
Time on the yeah. horses.
I had a Sixers jersey on, so my arms were exposed to the burn. It was really bad.
Was it a bad? I feel like if you just stub it, it's not too bad.
No,
it's versus someone like jamming
you
it
can
in
still
there.
See it. It's still there.
Okay,
the burn is still
mind.
There.
Were the other experiences as eventful?
No. I mean, the rest was just I got a heat stroke. You know what I mean? It's very, very hot.
And one maybe golf-related, perhaps?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. Jackson would smoke the cigars a lot.
I don't mind it when I'm golfing or anything and my buddy smokes a
sure.
cigar. It smells good.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. No, yeah. But then you get there, like, ugh, you got this taste going. It just never.
I don't know how
90s,
to do it right.
The 90s were so big for cigars. Remember, like, the big cigar movement? Everyone was smoking cigars. So
I remember the
Zoot Suits.
I remember
Zoot
Suit Riot. Yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah, I remember the Zoot Suit revival, the cigar time. This is
oh, we were all swing dancing in the 90s,
when
baby.
When swing dancing was going to come back, and then ska killed it, you know? Ugh, ska.
See,
disgusting.
These are the things. The kids need to understand the heritage here.
They need to understand that ska is an evil, that it's a scourge on this earth. It needs to be eradicated. You know, real big fish, no way. No, thank you.
I can just hear some of our... I'm going to go ahead and say Gen X listeners just gripping the steering wheel right now in rage.
You hear the strings. Gavin's just happy that we're not talking about sports right now. I really try to push away. I am babbling as much as I can to avoid thinking about the Eagles playing in Brazil tonight.
Oh, Brazil.
So please, if anyone sees that they lost, even though this game's going to be buried on Peacock and I have to steal someone's login to watch it, just know that I am in mental distress and hopefully that Rena goes to sleep and doesn't have to stay up and watch her father his worst. You know, she'll never see me. She'll never see me the same way ever again.
Yeah. So, a lifetime of that.
Yeah. So, Gavin, talk. Ask the other producers. Is it time to end the show?
Let me see. Yeah. I know a lot. That was a lot.
Okay. Yeah.
No. Okay. I got it.
Go ahead.
I'm thinking of poor Rena seeing you every Sunday.
It's not going to be good.
No.
It's going to be bad.
She'll have to lean into it. She won't know any different, I suppose, so that's good.
I'm poisoning her soul for the first time tonight. But go ahead. Finish the show.
That's how I got Caitlin. All right, folks. A wonderful wind down. Be a part of our wind downs in the future. Give us a shout like David at 803-563-7169. We love hearing from you guys. You can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you don't want to call. You can also call, not leave your name, whatever you want to do. And you can stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. The South Carolina Lead is a production of South Carolina Public Radio. Our producer is A.T. Shire. Amy Crouch is our supervising producer. Sean Birch is our executive producer. This podcast is produced with support from PRX and is made possible in part by a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, as well as listener contributions to the ETV Endowment of South Carolina. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
That's the field I work in, macadamia.
what are you? I'm an macadamia.
I'm a macadamic.
Like the nut?
Yeah, the nut. Ever heard of it?